Imagine stepping into the role of a founder, or maybe a CTO.
Right, someone holding the purse strings.
Exactly. And you just hired this like elite development agency to build a custom enterprise application for you.
The dream scenario.
Yeah, you sat through the pitches, you approved this incredibly slick slide deck, signed off on a massive budget.
And I bet the kickoff meeting was fantastic.
Oh, it was electric. Everyone was nodding, the vibes were great. But then fast forward 6 months.
This is where it gets rough.
So rough. The project is 40% over budget. It's 3 months behind schedule.
Yep.
And the absolute worst part, the software they just handed you doesn't actually match what you thought you agreed on in that kickoff meeting.
Like, the features technically function, but they aren't what you expected at all.
Right. So you bring this up, and the agency just kind of shakes their head and says, sorry, those changes are out of scope.
It is an incredibly painful position to be in. And unfortunately, it's basically the industry standard right now.
It really is.
This specific scenario is the root cause of, I mean, countless sleepless nights for organizational leaders.
And that right there is our mission for today's deep dive. We are unpacking some truly fascinating material today. It's called The Technegian Guide to Contract-First Software Development.
It's a great read.
It is, and it highlights this staggering statistic right out of the gate. 68% of enterprise software projects fail.
68%.
It's absurd, right? So we're going to figure out why that failure rate is so incredibly high.
And we're going to examine how this methodology, the contract-first development approach, claims to essentially eliminate the scope creep and those integration failures that just kill these projects.
Right. So for anyone out there listening who, values learning and efficiency, how do we even begin to fix this?
Well, to understand the solution, we have to look at the systemic, fundamental flaw in how software is traditionally built.
Yeah.
It's really a masterclass in systems thinking, getting to the absolute root cause of a problem.
I love that.
We're looking at a very specific structural solution that basically rewires the entire outcome just by changing the very first step of the process.
Okay, let's unpack this. Because to really grasp the fix, we need to dissect the anatomy of the failure first.
We do.
The traditional approach, which the guide calls the code-first approach, predictably falls apart in like four distinct
Right,
phases.
let's go through them.
So phase one starts with the business team. They write up these requirements documents in just natural plain English.
Which sounds totally fine initially.
Yeah, you'd think so. Then phase two happens. The development team takes those plain English documents and starts building, but they do it sequentially.
Sequentially, meaning one after the other.
Exactly. The front-end team just sits around waiting for the back-end team to finish building all the databases and the logic.
Because they can't hook up the user interface until the back end actually exists.
Right, which leads directly to phase three, the dreaded user acceptance testing, or
Or
UAT.
UAT, the reveal.
The big reveal. This is usually like the very first time the business team actually interacts with the working software, and they instantly realize it doesn't match their vision.
It never does.
Never. Which triggers phase four cascading change requests. The scope creep inflates the budget, the timelines completely blow up.
And the project either limps across the finish line with everyone hating each other, or it just gets canceled entirely.
Exactly. It's, well, let's use an analogy here. It's like deciding to open a massive franchise restaurant, right?
Okay, I'm with you.
And you hand the kitchen staff a plain English requirement that just says, make a gourmet signature burger.
That is extremely vague.
Totally. So the prep cook reads gourmet and assumes you mean Wagyu beef with, I don't know, truffle mayo.
Sounds amazing.
Right. But the line cook assumes you want a classic double-stacked smash burger.
Two very different burgers.
Yeah, and they both just start cooking based on what they think gourmet means. But wait, let me push back on my own analogy for a second.
Go for it.
Developers are like highly paid problem solvers, right? Why is natural language such a massive barrier here? Shouldn't smart engineers just be able to read a document and figure it out?
What's fascinating here is that the intelligence of the developers isn't the issue at all. Not even slightly.
Really, it's not just bad dev.
Not at all. The root cause, according to the guide, is the absence of a single, unambiguous source of truth.
Unambiguous being the key word.
Exactly. Human language is just inherently subjective. So if a product manager writes a requirement that says, user profile data,
Yeah.
a front-end developer interprets that visually. They picture a name, a clean layout, maybe a circular profile picture.
Sure, the UI stuff.
But a backend developer reads those exact same words, user profile data, and interprets them structurally.
Like databases.
Right. They see a complex relational data set. Billing history, encrypted passwords, server access logs.
Oh, wow. So they're both reading the same English words, but building totally different concepts?
Yes. They start building based on their own perfectly logical interpretations. They're solving the problem intelligently, just solving two completely different problems.
That makes so much sense. And for you listening, think about whenever you've experienced a massive miscommunication on a project.
It happens to everyone.
Whether it's software or like a marketing campaign or even just planning a trip, it's almost always because the initial requirements left room for interpretation.
Subjective human language is the root of the chaos.
So if subjective human language is the problem, we obviously need a language that leaves zero room for interpretation.
That brings us to the paradigm shift, the actual solution.
Contract-first development.
Exactly. Contract-first flips the entire traditional model completely upside down.
Right, because according to Technisian, the very first deliverable an agency produces isn't a single line of code.
Not one.
It's an interface specification, a contract.
And this contract locks down every single detail before any actual building begins.
We're talking every API endpoint. The exact structure of the requests and responses, authentication methods.
The specific error formats, everything. And crucially, this isn't just like a highly detailed Word document.
Right. It's not just more plain English.
Exactly.
Yeah.
These contracts are defined in specific machine-readable formats.
The guide mentions a few of these, right?
Yeah. So for REST APIs, you'd use something called Open API. If you're building event-driven systems, it's Async API. Or you might use GraphQL schemas.
And these are precise technical definitions written in formats like JSON or YAML.
Exactly. A computer can actually parse them, which forces every single stakeholder, the product managers, the front-end devs, back-end devs, QA, to review and formally sign off on these exact digital blueprints.
Okay, hold on, wait. Let me play devil's advocate here.
Please do.
Spending weeks arguing over a massive, rigid contract before anyone writes a line of code. I mean, doesn't that sound suspiciously like the old waterfall methodology?
It sounds a lot like waterfall, yeah.
Right. And we abandon waterfall because modern startups and enterprises need agility. They need to pivot.
Absolutely.
If you mandate all this upfront contract negotiation, doesn't that just kill the agility that modern tech teams need to survive?
That pushback is incredibly common. But the source actually explicitly addresses this. Contract first and agile are entirely complementary.
Okay, how so?
Agile dictates how your teams organize, how they iterate, how they work on a day-to-day basis.
Right, the daily stand-ups, the two-week sprints.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But the contract defines what those agile teams are actually building.
Ah, so it's the how versus the what.
Spot on. You still run your two-week agile sprints, but instead of using some vague user story, you use the mathematically precise contract as the specification for what you're delivering in that sprint.
That is a crucial distinction.
And furthermore, this upfront investment, this discovery phase, it typically only takes about 1 to 2 weeks.
Oh, that's not bad at all.
No.
Yeah.
It doesn't slow the project down.
Mm.
In fact, Technigene claims it actually reduces total project costs by 20 to 30%.
Just by eliminating the rework and the scope creep that usually destroys budgets on the back end?
Precisely. Having this machine-readable contract doesn't just prevent arguments. It unlocks a workflow that dramatically speeds up the actual building process.
Yeah, the velocity claims in this guide are staggering, like really staggering.
They are. Gartner data from 2025 reports a 30 to 40% faster time to market using this approach compared to code first.
30 to 40%.
Plus a 25% increase in developer productivity and 40% faster deployment cycles, specifically for microservices.
Okay, here's where it gets really interesting. To explain how that speed is actually achieved, let's use another analogy.
Let's hear it.
Think of this parallel development thing, like digging a tunnel straight through a massive mountain.
Okay.
The traditional code-first way is having one team start on the east side, and they just dig all the way through to the west side, and then the next team takes over to pave it.
Which is incredibly slow.
Super slow. But the contract-first way, it's like starting a team on the east side and a team on the west side, and they dig simultaneously.
Right.
And they can only do that because they have a perfectly mapped GPS coordinate the contract, so they know with absolute mathematical certainty they will meet exactly in the middle.
That is exactly how parallel development works here. The moment that interface contract is signed, the front-end team and the back-end team completely decouple.
They stop waiting for each other.
Exactly. The front-end developers building the user interface do not have to wait for the back-end database to exist.
So what do they build against then?
They build against mock servers. Because the OpenAPI specification is machine-readable, a developer can just run a simple command line tool.
And it just makes a fake server.
Instantly. It generates a fake local server that behaves exactly how the real back-end eventually will.
That is wild. So if the contract says, you know, get user returns a string for a name and an integer for an age.
The mock server automatically generates dummy data matching that exact structure.
Wow. So the front-end team can build and test the entire user experience, loading states, errors, everything immediately.
While the back-end team is simultaneously building the actual logic in the real databases, nobody is sitting on their hands.
That is huge. I mean, think about how much time you, the listener, waste in your own day-to-day work just waiting for someone in another department to finish their part.
It's the biggest bottleneck in business.
Right. Waiting to get the file so you can finally start your part. This methodology just completely eliminates that sequential bottleneck.
What? It goes even beyond simply working at the same time. There's another critical piece here.
What's that?
The machine-readable nature of the contract enables automated continuous contract testing.
Ah, right. Continuous contract testing. This fundamentally changes quality assurance.
Because humans are basically terrible at catching tiny structural errors.
We really are. Under a traditional model, a bug might sit hidden for weeks.
But with Contract First, every single code commit is automatically validated against the API contract.
Right, in the CI/CD pipeline, right. The continuous integration system.
Yes. When a developer saves their work and pushes it to the main repository, an automated server spins up and checks the code against the OpenAPI document.
So if a back-end developer accidentally, like, changes a required phone number field from a string to an integer.
Or they just rename user ED to ID.
The system flags it instantly. Yeah. The build literally fails, right?
It refuses to accept the code. It catches the bug in seconds. At build time.
That's incredible.
Compare that to the traditional method, where that missing field isn't discovered until a month later during UAT.
Which causes a massive disruption.
And requires a developer to completely refamiliarize themselves with code they wrote weeks ago. Catching a bug during a commit costs pennies. Catching it in production costs thousands.
Which explains the claimed 50% reduction in production API bugs. But okay, theory is great. Let's talk about the actual execution.
How the rubber meets the road.
Exactly. How does an actual agency take this theoretical framework and operationalize it for enterprise clients?
Without falling back into those comfortable sequential habits.
Right. And Technigene has a very specific blueprint for this, don't they?
They do. It's a rigid timeline.
Yeah.
Weeks 1 and 2 are dedicated entirely to discovery and contract design.
So no coding yet.
No coding. This phase produces a domain model which maps out the business entities along with the full API spec and the acceptance criteria.
And then weeks 2 through 8.
That's when the parallel development happens. They actually note this works for minimum viable products in just 4 to 6 weeks.
Saving startups from wasting development cycles that could drain their entire runway.
Exactly. And they wrap this execution in a proprietary approach they call the hybrid advantage.
The hybrid advantage with a trademark. I saw that. A major component of this is using AI accelerated contract design, right?
Yes. Which requires some explanation, because they aren't just handing the project to ChatGPT and hoping for the best.
Good, because that would be terrifying.
Right. They use large language models to ingest a massive 50-page plain English requirements document. And the AI extracts the core entities to draft the initial boilerplate API specs. It writes the hundreds of lines of repetitive YAML or JSON code.
Setting up the baseline endpoints. Creating, reading, updating, deleting data.
Exactly. It accelerates the discovery phase by automating the tedious formatting.
Which leaves the senior human architects to actually refine the complex business logic and the edge cases.
Yes. And they pair that AI acceleration with a highly specific technology stack. .NET 8 for their backends, paired with React TypeScript for the frontends.
And the technical reason for this specific stack is crucial, isn't it?
It's the secret sauce. Because they possess a machine-readable OpenAPI specification, they feed that document into code generators.
To create what the guide calls strongly typed API clients.
Yes, for both the front end and the back end.
Let me try to translate strongly typed into a mechanical analogy for a second.
I love your analogies. Go for it.
Imagine the contract is a puzzle piece and it has exactly 5 jagged edges. If the front end tries to send a piece of data with only 4 edges, the compiler, the program translating the code, literally refuses to build the application.
That is compile time validation.
Hmm.
The rules of the contract are baked into the very fabric of the technology stack.
It physically cannot run.
Yeah. The CUN inherently understands the contract, and you cannot run the app if the front end and back end do not perfectly match the agreed upon blueprint.
Okay, but I have to ask the ultimate pragmatic question here.
Lay it on me.
We all know how the real world works. You spend 2 weeks making this mathematically perfect contract.
Yep.
You generate your strongly typed clients. You start parallel development. And then in week four, the market shifts.
Or a key stakeholder has a new idea.
Exactly. The client inevitably changes their mind mid-project. So what happens? Are they just trapped by this rigid contract they signed a month ago?
That is the big fear.
Does contract first literally mean no changes allowed?
If we connect this to the bigger picture of project management, that is the most vital question you could ask. Contract first does not eliminate change. It manages change.
It prevents change from happening invisibly.
Exactly. When a new requirement emerges mid-project, it demands a formal contract amendment.
So you update the API specification first.
Yes. The engineering team assesses exactly how this new endpoint impacts the strongly typed clients across the whole system.
Which makes the impact on the timeline and the scope visible.
And it's calculated with precision. It's presented to the client with transparent pricing.
So the change is only implemented after explicit approval. The scope and pricing impact is agreed upon, rather than bleeding the budget dry in the shadows.
And becoming a huge argument months later. This rigorous mathematical management of scope is exactly what enables Technegian to offer genuine fixed-price contracts.
Because you know the exact cost before the coding begins. The boundaries are absolute.
It is a profound shift. You move from hoping teams align to mathematically guaranteeing they align.
It's brilliant.
And before we wrap, there is one final fascinating nugget buried in the sources comparison table that wasn't deeply discussed, but merits reflection.
Oh, what's that?
It's the concept of long-term maintenance and the death of tribal knowledge.
Ah, tribal knowledge, the silent killer of legacy software.
Exactly. In traditional code-first projects, maintaining the system years down the line requires undocumented knowledge from the original creators.
You literally need the guy who built it to explain why he built a weird workaround.
And when those developers quit, the knowledge leaves the building with them.
Leaving the company terrified to update their own application because nobody knows what might break.
But with contract first, the contracts are self-documenting.
Wait, because the documentation isn't just written by some tired developer as an afterthought.
Right. It is generated automatically, directly from the OpenAPI specification.
Wow. So the blueprint is always perfectly up to date with the actual code.
Because the code cannot compile unless it matches the blueprint. Imagine a world where the intentions of a system's original architects are perfectly preserved in the code's DNA.
So a completely new team, a new Technegian pod, can step in years later and safely evolve the application.
Without breaking the hidden, undocumented logic of the past. Which raises an important question.
Let's hear it.
How much institutional memory is your organization losing right now simply because your contracts are just ambiguous conversations floating around in the hallway?
Oh, man. That is a phenomenal question to leave on. Starting a complex software project without an API contract is literally like handing out hammers and hoping a skyscraper builds itself.
It's a recipe for disaster.
It really is. By front-loading the agreement into a machine-readable format, teams can work in parallel, test automatically, and actually deliver what was promised on budget.
Exactly.
So whether you are building enterprise software or just trying to manage a complex initiative across different departments, remember the lesson of the contract-first methodology.
Always ask for the blueprint.
Always ask for the precise blueprint before you let anyone start pouring the concrete. Thank you so much for joining us for this deep dive. We will catch you on the next one.